If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today I have what I would call like the OG relationship podcasters, the host of the podcast Dateable, Julie Kraftchick and Yue Xu. We are talking about their new book, which comes out today, How to Be Dateable. And I'm always very hesitant to have dating experts on the show just because I just don't subscribe to all the gimmicks and tricks, and I don't believe there's a way that anyone can instruct you on how to date. But what I love about their approach is the whole book is not about how to make yourself desirable. It's about how to approach dating from a way that feels authentic to you, which I think is the most important thing that you can do when approaching dating. This episode isn't just for people who are ready to start dating. I would say it's for people who are even freshly going through a breakup, because it goes through how it can feel less scary and less daunting. We talk about finding a relationship North Star. We talk about this idea of compatibility and how, because we're so focused on dating and dating correctly, that we actually end up missing so many things that are fundamentally not a fit with people. So we talk about all the modern dating pitfalls, or a good amount of dating pitfalls, and then we talk about how to counteract that and how to approach dating in a way that feels good to you, which is huge. And their whole thing is dating doesn't have to be scary or daunting. It can feel energizing and it can feel refreshing in a way, which I love. So this was a great episode. I highly recommend everyone goes out and gets their book, How to Be Dateable, out today, and be sure to listen to them on the Dateable podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome, Julie and Yue, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. So happy to have you guys, like one of the OG relationship podcasters on the show. So been a fan from afar for a long time. So really, really happy to have you guys on.
Kendra, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, we are so happy to be here.
So I would love to start. So having your show now for almost 10 years, what was like the big gap or need you guys saw in the dating space that led you to want to write your book, How to Be Dateable?
Yeah, what's interesting is in the 10 years that we've been doing this show, we made a lot of friends, a lot of people who were dating, as you can imagine. And then we had followed the dating lives of our own friends and ourselves. And we saw this polarizing change. Basically, we saw there was a cohort of people who were so disenchanted with dating that they're on the brink of giving up on dating, and they're so frustrated and overwhelmed and drained. And then we saw this small cohort of people, us included, who really enjoyed dating, who learned so much from the process, and also people who just felt like they didn't need to play into the modern dating game. So we're like, what are we doing different where we don't talk negatively about dating? And this other, you know, cohort of people, they felt the same way. So we wanted to write a book where we figured it out. And it's not figuring out modern dating. It's a figuring a way out of modern dating, which modern dating is set up to keep us apart, honestly.
I was just going to add too, like, you know, when UA and I started Dateable, we were very different daters than we were as it progressed. And, you know, I think a lot of it was, I mean, attributing to just talking to different people and hearing different perspectives and ways that they were approaching dating and realizing like you didn't have to do the way that everyone is getting so caught up in that. I know for me personally, for years, I was just so inauthentic when I dated and that got me nowhere. So when I was able to like break free of that and like what UA was saying, like find a different way. And we were able to kind of piece that together with everything we learned from the thousands of people we talked about. And then it was like, oh yeah, there is a different way that doesn't have to be as painful and feel so like depleting. And, you know, love should be a positive thing. It should be magical. It should be happy. And of course there's peaks and valleys. It's not always all good, but like at the same time, it's just gotten so like depressing and it doesn't have to be that way.
That's one thing that really stuck out with the book. And it's interesting. I've always very hesitant to put like dating stuff on the podcast just because I've seen it like all the rules and the games and that kind of stuff. And what I really like about your book and the, I guess, philosophy behind it is it's more about how you're showing up to dating. Yes. It's not how to make yourself desirable. That's not it at all. It's what you just said. It's you guys talk like the theme is like big dating energy. Like how do you bring that dating energy into dating and how do you do it in a way that, like you said, feels authentic. I love that you guys made the reference to Why Men Love Bitches. I bring that up on the podcast all the time because
it's the worst book.
It was the worst.
Ridiculous.
I read it honestly probably so young. I was probably like 17 when I read it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, that's not me. So I love that there's, it's not just like how to show up authentically. It's even more than that, which I want to get into, which is these archetypes that you guys, you know, talk about in the book. And I would love if you guys could talk about how did you come up with these? And if you guys could give like a brief description of all of them. I love that. I've never seen that, like a personality kind of test for what kind of dater you are, because we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for validating kind of the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is not to make yourself desirable for everybody to date. We know that 99% of people out there aren't going to be a match for you. But the purpose of writing this book and the main point we want to get across is you are the one consistent person in your life. So date yourself in a way that makes you grounded in the most authentic version of yourself. So then you can authentically date other people. And to give a little history and context is during the 2.5 years of writing this book, I went through a major breakup.
Yes.
A five-year relationship ended in infidelity. And I was able to relook at our book through this perspective. And it still applied and actually applied even more during my breakup. Because one thing that really helped me get through the breakup was that I never lost myself in that relationship. My life never paused because of the breakup. I kept moving forward. I kept growing. So it was very nice to see it from that perspective because we were like, oh my gosh, is this just for people, you know, trying to get into relationships? No, it's for people. I was at a point in my life where I was like, I'm single and not dating. And this is still applying to me because I don't need to be out there dating in order to understand what dateable means. So thank you for validating that because that was something we really wanted to get across. And the archetypes are kind of an extension of that because what we saw with the thousands of daters that we spoke to, people fell into five different buckets of archetypes, and these are their attitudes and behaviors in dating. And each archetype has superpowers. Those are the most positive traits about you that attract you to partners. And then there are things that may be holding us back. And so in each archetype, and most people fall into one or two, so multiple archetypes, you'll see that where are the gifts from who you are that you can lean into. And then what can you be more aware of that could be holding you back? So for me, it's the maverick, 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 maverick. I am the person who is very independent. I have a strong sense of self. I don't lose myself in relationships and I do respect space. But what may be holding me back is that I run at the first sign of something being tough, a tough conversation, a tough situation. Because I feel like it's a threat to my independence. So I run away before things get deep, before the connection can be built. And I don't allow these relationships to really play out the way they should be. So that's a maverick. And then I have a little bit of achiever, but Julie has more of achiever. So I'll have her talk more about that.
Oh, yes, the achiever. I'm an achiever dreamer blend. Those are my two prominent ones. So achiever, the person that knows what they want, they're not afraid to go after it, served me so well in my career and education, all of that. But in dating, maybe not so much, in the sense that I was so focused on the next milestone and moving things along, and at the detriment of staying present, but also trying to move along the wrong people. Like, I had such a pattern that I would stay in situationships that weren't serving me or give that like chance to someone, because then my dreamer also kicked in. So that was like that combination of like the person that wanted to move it along, but also, you know, was almost in a fantasy of like what the reality of the situation was. And again, in a relationship, it serves me so well because I'm so giving and caring and loving to my partner and wear my heart on my sleeve, all the emotions, everything. But then with dating, I would just like hyperfixate on the wrong people, and then also give like the 10th chance and just keep things prolonged. And like looking back, I was like, I feel like I would have met someone a lot earlier in life had I not stayed with the wrong people. And like looking back on it, I'm like, I'm so glad some of those resulted in breakups or them even ending it with me, because I might not have been the one to end it because I wanted the train to keep going. And it was so clearly the wrong person. So everything works out the way it's supposed to be. So you have to like give yourself grace in that regard. But I think looking back, it was so clear how I was getting in my own way, especially when I had like that great couple of first dates and then like the subsequent relationship was not good. Why was I holding on to it so much?
I probably most closely identify with you. That's like resonates so much, where I'm achiever, but also I can like make someone else.
Yeah,
I can do the work for two people. What it
feels,
you know, like I completely identify with that. And there are so many things that I want to touch on that you just talked about. But can you guys just go through the other two archetypes?
Yes.
Yeah, we've also got the thinker. This is the person who is deeply committed and loyal when they make a decision because they've done their research and they've done their research. But what may be holding them back is that they've done so much research that they may have analysis paralysis because of the fact that they're inundated with so much information. It may make them not take action at all. And so, yes, this person can be deeply committed, but they have to make that decision first. And that's the hardest part.
It's good to know other people's too, because my partner is a thinker through and through. And for me, like, I mean, there's definitely some thinker tendencies. Don't get me wrong. I would overanalyze texts and all of that a lot. But I think from a decision-making perspective, I was quicker because the achiever mindset. So it was a little like paralyzing almost at the beginning. Because I'm like, I know this person likes me and they're all in, but like their way of doing things was so different. So that's why understanding your own is obviously very important in itself to help you, but also understanding the people you date is really like mind opening. And then just the last one is the energizer. So this is the person that is go, 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 filling up their social calendar, all the dates. They make a wonderful date because they are fun to be around. They are extroverted. They usually just like kill it when they're dating, right? But the part that's hard is sometimes they're spreading themselves too thin, that it becomes more surface level. People kind of feel like when they're in a lineup, this is the person that subscribes to the numbers game belief that's always they can meet their soulmate everywhere, but then you can't get on their calendar for 3 weeks and then the connection dies out. So you can kind of see where some of the struggles are with this person, but also the assets they bring. They're also so action oriented. They're almost like the opposite of the thinker in some ways, but they don't give the time to reflect of like, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? I'm just like looking for that next person to validate me.
I feel like it's so interesting too, because in almost every aspect of my life, I would consider myself the energizer.
Yeah. Dating is different. Yeah.
And I think I've told the story on the podcast before, but I had a mentor and I had a friend come to me and tell me, she was like, so I'm committing to 3 dates a week for the next like 6 weeks or whatever. And I was like, I should do that. And I remember I called her and I was like, I have this great idea. I'm going to go on 3 dates a week for the next 6 weeks. And she's like, Kendra, there are just some people that are like buffet people, and there are some people that are like main entree people. And she's like, I think you're an entree person. I was
Yeah,
like,
I like
yeah. Yeah. I was like, that
that.
feels more like me. That would be so stressful
I mean,
to go on that many.
like you brought up so many points of that. Like our editor actually, when she took the quiz, she's like, I'm an energizer. And you
We're
and
like,
I were
what?
so surprised. We were like, we thought you were the thinker for sure. And she's like, in dating, I am the energizer. So it shows you that it's not always the same personality. But then what you were saying about like, this is why it's so important to understand yourself, because then you don't take the generic advice of like, oh, you should be dating multiple people at once. For some people, that actually could be good advice. And like, for, you know, like I would give different advice to like a friend, for instance. Like we have this friend that is a thinker through and through. And we were just like, just go for it. You met someone great, just dive in, you know? And other people, we wouldn't necessarily give that advice to.
Yeah, that's why I think so much dating advice, at least for me, feels icky, I guess, because
Yes.
it's just not me. You know, it's not how I would operate. And you guys, how the book is broken down is you guys talk about like kind of the modern dating pitfalls that so many people experience. And one of the ones that I loved was this idea of like the bachelor. Like, we all think that. We're all so focused on progressing the dates, the relationships, that we so often don't take the time to stop and think like, is this person even like advanceable? You know, it's like we're all so inundated in this society of, okay, I want to get the first date, then we get the second date. And sometimes you don't want the second date.
Totally. And like you asked earlier, like what was the catalyst? I think a big part of this too was in doing Dateable. This is like weird for dating experts, which is also a weird title. But anyways, like people have given that to us. We're like, oh, I don't know what we feel about that fully. But like with Dateable, like we kind of the realization we had was like, you actually shouldn't get good at dating, at least the way dating is today, because it's all centered around inauthenticity and game playing and everything. And like game playing, I think people are like, oh, I don't play games. Like that's so like the 90s or whatever. And it's like, if you're withholding a text or you're withholding anything, you're playing a game. You just don't maybe realize that. And I think a big piece of like, what we've done is kind of like dismantle a lot of this stuff because it doesn't really get you to where you want to go. You're either staying in relationships that aren't serving you, or, you know, you're getting stuck on rules or ways of being that just aren't authentic at all to you.
You also talk about this idea of like the relationship chicken, which is, they do tell you like, oh, match someone else's energy, you know? And I think stereotypically, it's like, okay, the woman needs to match, like the guy should take the lead, you should match their energy. But again, we keep using that word inauthentic, but it really is of like, okay, I'm not someone that waits to text back. If I'm excited, I want to be excited. You know, I don't want to hold back on telling you that I'm excited or I had so much fun or like, don't say thank you. I don't know, all these good rules that I've heard. And it does it. If you start matching their energy, you're going to start feeling, I think it's like, that's how people get jaded. It's not even so much that things don't work out. It's more so like, I'm becoming jaded because I'm ignoring myself and how I want to operate within relationships.
Well, if you think about it, we have blinders on in dating because we're so entrenched in dating. So th these types of behaviors we think are normal. But if you were to pull back to a bird's eye view of what you're doing and what's happening in modern dating, you'd be like, what the hell is happening? I'll give you a good example. My neighbor is a 54-year-old man who just got divorced, and he hasn't dated really ever. Like, he has never dated in this modern society. And he went on a dating app. He matched with this girl he was really excited about. And so they started making plans. And the last message she sent him was, I'm going to unmatch you. Here's my phone number. And if you don't see this message before I unmatch you, then I guess good luck trying to find me. He knocked on my door. He's like, Yue, what's going on? Like, does she want to hang out with me? Like, Does she even want to meet me? And her message was like, if you really like me, you would make an effort or you would screenshot this message right away. Just really boggled his mind. And I was like, thank you, because you don't need to play in that. That's not the game anybody should be playing. But for some reason, if you're really entrenched in dating, you think that's normal. Like, these are the games you're supposed to play.
Over the past year, I've really made an effort to get my finances in a place where I'm not just budgeting, but I'm also looking into my financial future. And recently, I've learned a few things that I think you would find so interesting. Did you know that 66% of men are investing in the stock market compared to just 48% of women? And here's another one that probably won't surprise you. Multiple studies have shown that women are better investors than men. Why? Because men are overconfident and women actually do the research. The good news is that Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you have is spare change. I love that Acorns automates and takes the guesswork out of what is usually a very intimidating process. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risks. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes in addition to your breakup overwhelm? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And these hormone disruptors are on top of the natural hormone changes we go through. And even though it is a natural process, it doesn't mean it doesn't wreak havoc on us. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore. Thanks to Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal changes in women of all ages. I love that Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The statement that you started that with of like, we have blinders on with dating because we're so focused on dating. It's like that was like, pew, mind blown. That is so true. And you guys do talk about that is like, because we're so focused on, is this the right thing with dating, that you end up missing so many like actual, and you guys have like these great like charts with the red flag that we might become so obsessed with. And then the very fundamental thing that we could be missing. And I think it's so appropriate for this podcast, because I always say that almost all breakups just come down to a lack of compatibility. Yes. And there is no compatibility Bible. It would be great if like we all got this thing and it's like, okay, do you match this? Yes, this, but like everyone's so different. But can you talk about how like that whole concept of how we miss the true compatibility because we're so focused on, I don't know, moving it forward or playing the game right or whatever that looks like?
I think we're just all focused on the wrong things in dating. Like, I think a big piece of this, it's built up for years in societal conditioning too. And I think with all of this, like our whole thing is like, you're not wrong for playing into this. This is normal to play into it. It's the way the scripts we've been fed and like the way that we think we should be dating. So now it's just breaking out of it. And actually that, I hope that gives like your listeners hope, maybe, that are new to dating because they're coming out of a breakup breakup or they're like, oh, I don't want to get back into this because I've heard how miserable it is. I think that actually gives maybe hope that it's like, if you actually just ignore some of this stuff and don't get hyper fixated on it, then it could actually be like a more enjoyable process and easier for you. So I think that's one piece. But what you were saying about like the what we focus on with compatibility, I mean, some of it is just the way that like our infrastructure is too. Like when you think about apps, and like for the record, I'm pro app. I met my partner on an app. So I'm saying this as someone that is pro app. But all we're focused on are like these superficial qualities and characteristics of like someone's height and where they went to school and occupation. I'm not saying like this stuff isn't important, but like we're missing the big picture of like, you know, what are they, a kind person? Are they trustworthy? And like, we can't get that from an app. And I think also like one of the traps we talk about is this expectation of love on demand that we think that we should know instantly with everything. So it just doesn't give people enough time to reveal themselves. And like, I think for me, a big piece of it, like I mentioned earlier, I was like the queen of situationships existed. Like that was like my MO. I was always with these people or getting hung up on these people that weren't fully there or couldn't really give me what I wanted. And I'd always have these breakups that weren't because I didn't want to be with the person, but because they weren't giving me what I wanted. And ultimately they would like, I would probably just pull the cord if they like really couldn't show up for me, or maybe they would even before because they knew they couldn't. And I think when I was able to really change what I was looking for and put like consistency at the forefront, and I think people hear that, they're like, well, are you settling by just having someone consistent? We're not saying that should be the only quality. But for me, when we actually have this exercise in the book of like finding your dating North Star, and that gives you clarity into like your needs and why you're dating in the first place. When I was able to see that consistency was so necessary because it was kind of the opposite of everything that was like problematic in my dating life. When I was able to date with that at the forefront, if the person couldn't even pass that bar, then they weren't someone that's worth investing in and pursuing. It's not to say they only were consistent and everything else was like boring about them. Like they had to have more than just that, but it didn't matter like what their resume was or what the chemistry was like if they couldn't even pass that bare minimum.
Yeah, we are definitely kindred spirits. I was also the situation.
It's the dreamer in us.
I'm like you. I got to the place where I was like, I don't care how this comes off. Like first date, are you looking for a relationship? Yes. No. Okay. Like, let's just get that out of the way instead of, again, like playing into this game of you guys talk about the whole when you know kind of a thing, because you don't know until you've been in enough situations with a person to see like, okay, is this someone that I can picture spending my life with, of like, what is it like when they get laid off from their job or we have financial insecurity? You know, it's like, there's just so many things that play into finding the right person, that like idea of love on demand is, you don't know. And you talk about like your dating self versus your true self. Like, I don't know if you guys know, like at what point do we even get to start seeing someone's true self?
Right. Exactly. And what you just mentioned there is so important to highlight. The characteristics we currently look for in dating, they're not related to us, right? If you're looking for someone who's like, adventurous, who likes going out, who's extroverted, who went to a good school, none of those qualities have anything to do with you. They're not in relation to you. And we really highlight this in the book, is you want to look for someone who has characteristics that are in relation to you. Like what Julie brought up, consistency in relation to her, consistent communication with her, consistent treatment of her. And compatibility is about a relational barometer of how you are able to relate to each other. So we can take away the characteristics that have nothing to do with us. I get really irked by when someone says, we have so much in common. And then you ask, what do you have in common? Oh, we both like sushi. We grew up in the same town. Yeah. We have siblings around the same age. We love to travel. We travel all the time. And then I ask, did any of that have to do with you? Because that's just, you know, happenstance, that this person happens to have similar background, upbringing, or likes and interests as you. but it's not because of you. So having these things in common doesn't actually dictate your compatibility. It just means, oh, great, you have some things in common.
Yeah.
It's not something that you built together in a partnership.
That is so true. And I like that you guys talk about like a characteristic or a need that you have, because I think we are so conditioned, but like, what is the fundamental need that we have with that? So, you know, like in Julie's example, some people might say, oh, I want to date someone who is good at texting back. Okay. It's like, what's the deep need for that? You need someone who you feel safe with and like will be consistent and you're not always on edge. Like, will I hear from them? Will I not? I want safety and security and consistency. But yeah, we hyper focus on, I just want them to text back.
Totally. And I think that, I mean, that is the crux of where like the way out and where we go with like, okay, here's a framework now that we know what's trapping us at dating, how do we move out? And it's really leading with your core needs at the forefront and flipping that list into like those fundamentals and really dating that way. And I feel like for years, I did not date that way. I just took like kind of like whatever came my way a lot of times. And I was really leaning into the chemistry. Like I mentioned, I would get caught up in that first couple dates and then hold on. And looking back, I'm like, oh my God, it's so clear now that like why all these other things did not work out and like how incompatible these partners really were. But in the moment, obviously, it felt just so heart-wrenching and heartbreaking. And I think like, you know, navigating that piece of it, I think obviously in hindsight, you can all say like it was meant to be, it got me to where I was, but I don't want to like undermine how difficult that is. But at the same time, I also think it's the best time to reflect, because if you've had these experiences, whether it's like a full blown breakup with a like relationship you thought was like the one, or like even just a string of dates that haven't gone anywhere, that's the way that you can pull from like, what is it that you really need in a partner? So you can move forward and find someone that is a much better match.
And like, I just think the way that it's set up now is when it doesn't work, it's built up in a way where it makes you feel like you're not enough, you know?
So something wrong.
Yeah. Or you just like weren't X enough or whatever that looks like. And it's so hard for me to, I want to just tell everyone like, you can't take this personally, but no. Like, yes, a breakup's so personal. How could it not be personal? Someone is saying, I don't want to be with you. You know, it's like, it's a very personal thing. But again, if you like, once you get some space and if you can get a bird's eye view, it really does come down to like, I never know the right word to describe it. Sometimes I just use like vibe in general. Like it just doesn't work the way you guys navigate conflict or the way that, you know, future planning or other things, like that's just stuff just doesn't align. And it doesn't mean that you weren't enough. But I think too, when you try so hard, and I know for me, like when you try so hard to be that chameleon, which you guys also talk about in the book, and it doesn't work, it feels like a bigger failure, because you're like, I tried so hard to be everything this person wanted and it still wasn't enough. You know, that's hard.
When you lose yourself and when you lose your dating North Star, you have relinquished control of your emotions and your self-worth to this other person. They now dictate your worth. And that's not the place we want to be at when we're going through a breakup. And so if you are very crystal clear about your dating North Star, for example, my dating North Star is I want to always reveal the best side of me. What is the best version of me that can be revealed in this relationship? If this relationship no longer reveals the best side of me, no longer inspires me, the best side of me, then I do not need to continue with this relationship. I can see that. And I felt that with my breakup. It was very clear. This relationship no longer is inspiring me to be the best version of myself. Yes, breakups are very, very hard. But if you're so clear on what you're trying to get out of relationships, then it's so much easier to close a chapter, because you're like, this is no longer serving me.
And we give you the exercise. Some people are like, I don't have a North Star that's that polished up. There is an exercise.
Yes.
I am so interested in this, like you going through the breakup with that, you know, just instinctual, because I always think like if I were to go through a divorce now, I think I would be in that position where it's like, I know what I want. I know what I like. Yes, it would be so devastating. But at the same time, like, I do think there's so much power in gaining that clarity and that self-worth while you're single, because it just gives such freedom in dating and being able to know you can like walk away if you need to, and you don't want to subscribe to games. And if someone's doing something you don't like, it's like, okay, I can walk away from this because this does not align. But when you're like how I used to be as a chameleon, mm-hmm. you're like, I'm just getting jerked. Like you just, like you said, you relinquish your control and your worth to this other person. Yeah. And it just feels like you're a rag doll getting, you know,
that's such a good analogy.
Totally. And you have no idea who you are at the end of the day. And so when I was going through this breakup, I think what the first instinct I had was, oh, I'm starting over. Am I starting over? Right. Do I have to put myself back out there? Like I'm going to date again. Then I came to this conclusion. It was like, okay, if I have that mindset, it means I am acquiescing to modern dating. That's what that is. I am reluctantly accepting modern dating as is. That's what makes me reluctant to get back into dating. But if I say, I'm going to get back, I will date. It's not getting back into dating. You're like, you just date and you don't, and you date and you don't. I will open myself up to love again, but I am putting myself at the forefront. I am in the driver's seat. I'm going to go deep into my own interests and what inspires me and what brings me joy and love. And that, funny enough, was tennis. And tennis changed my entire life. It really did. It was something that I always wanted to take up. I was always like, oh, I'll just wait. And like, you know, had all these excuses. But during this breakup, I was like, you know what would bring me a lot of joy is to learn how to play tennis. I became so happy in my tennis community. That's what drew me the people that I ended up dating. And the person I'm in a relationship with right now, we got closer because of tennis. I didn't lead with, I got to find someone. I led with myself and finding more love in my life.
I think that's beautiful. And I think that's probably the position that a lot of people going through this are. And I liked that what you said, like, it's not getting back into dating. It's like you're either dating, like you can date, you cannot date. Because people will always say, how do I know it's the right time to get back into dating? And I'm like, you could try it. And if you don't like it, then you just, then you stop. You're not like signing a contract. And like, okay, I am giving myself over to Bumble and like, I will not leave until I find the person. It's like, you can do it in a way that if it doesn't feel right, then delete the app.
I mean, I definitely went on a date once after a breakup. And I think it was because like I had another breakup that I waited like a long time to get back into dating. And then when this other breakup happened, I was like, okay, I'm not going to waste any time. Just going to get back into it. And I went on a date and I like legit cried at the end, like not because of the date, but like because of the place I was in. I'm like, okay, I'm not ready. Like, this is a sign that I'm not ready. And like, I remember the person being like wanting to set up the next date. And I was just like, this has nothing to do with you. And like, I just want to let you know.
But at least you found out after you went on the date. You wouldn't have known if you didn't go out on that date.
And I think like a testament to someone that watched UA too, like, I feel like you never even got back on apps.
No.
You just led with your own interests. And also, I think you were open. I mean, her partner now is someone that you knew before in a professional context, not like in a weird way, but like just someone in your network that you never viewed as a partner because you were one in a relationship and then other reasons. And I think like sometimes we think we have to go back and do it the exact way that we're like told that we should date. And that isn't always the case. Like you need to find what works for you. And again, not saying you shouldn't do apps because like for me, I loved apps. Like I thought they were ideal for me because like I thought it was just an easier way for me to engage in with people. So everyone has to find what works for them.
Yeah. And you guys talk about in the book, date the way you want to be dated.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's a huge part.
It seems so. My husband and I just taught our 3-year-old about the golden rule. And it's like, he's not understanding yet, but we're trying. But it comes back to that, the golden rule of treat people the way you want to be treated. And it does feel like everyone's thinks they should be subscribing to it. But I imagine it is very refreshing when someone comes into it and is like, I'm not going to play into the games. This is what I am. This is what excites me. I like this about, you know, it's why do we have to hide certain parts of us, and why not just lean into what we like and then see what flushes out from there?
And it doesn't even have to be as grandiose as here are my boundaries, here's who I am, here's what I'm looking for, because I can understand that could be a little overwhelming for some people who aren't able to express that up front. But I do find with a lot of modern dating woes is it's what will we tolerate.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we tolerate the shit that we would never do or we complain about, but we tolerate it into our own lives. So a lot of times it could be if someone is not reciprocating in the way that you would like to, instead of you going one notch down and being like, I'm going to wait to reciprocate too, just don't engage, don't tolerate, don't allow that into your life. And then you can move on. It could be that simple.
There is this weird like scarcity mindset. I'm not sure if you see this with your listeners, Kendra, too. And it's very fascinating. I think it's like the greatest paradox to us because it's like, yeah, we complain there's too many options. There's too many people to meet. Yet there's like no one good out there. And that's like always this extreme view. And I think a lot of times, like, I mean, we kind of like, you know, almost expected that in the book. We're like, we hear you saying we're going to add more parameters and all this stuff. Like we hear people being like, well, if I like, you know, don't try to like give effort to this person that's barely giving me anything, like that's a viable option. And now I'm losing that. And I really think that like when we change the parameters of what makes someone a viable option, then you stop like settling for these qualities like that aren't actually what you want. Like if you want a partner, why would you want someone where it's such a struggle to even get them to like text you back or like make a plan? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just, I know it's like so crazy, like thinking about it. Like when we started this podcast, like I was in like the thick of like a really bad breakup in the sense of like, could not get out of bed, thought this was like the one, the love of my life. And that like, there would never be anyone after this kind of thing. That was the mindset I was in. And, you know, like over the years, I mean, we did have an on again, off again relationship that spanned it. I would love to say it just ended at that point. It did not, but it's okay. It got me to where I needed to be. But I think like looking back on it, like now with my partner, it's just been so. Like,
Fiance.
I know. I've been dying to say something this whole episode.
I'm like, wait,
congratulations.
Let's be clear, Beyonce.
As of what, like this weekend?
Yeah, like when we're recording this, like a couple of days ago. I know, yes. I'm still not like fully there, but like I don't know. I like the word partner though, because it does encompass how I feel about them. And like, I feel like my last relationships, now I get it. This, I guess, is the point I was trying to make. It's like, I can see so clearly now that those people like were not right, because they were never partners. And it was always this like almost uphill battle all the time. And yes, it was so painful in the moment of that heartbreak, but I feel like you can't truly find the right person if you are stuck on the wrong one.
And there's like a whole section in the book about the validation trap. And I think some of that comes down to it of, because I was the same. It was like, I would just hang on. And I think for me, if I'm being honest with myself, it's like, well, if I can change their view on me, mm-hmm. then I win. I like win.
Yes.
I don't know what I win.
Oh my God, we are kindred spirits.
I win a shitty partner.
Yeah, but, you win a shitty relationship.
Yeah. Yay.
You got the grand prize.
To me, it's like, oh, I won, but like, I don't know, what did I win? So, and I remember my therapist used to call it something like very like conquest of like, yes. This is your mission. You need to, I don't know, change this person's view on
achiever. Yeah.
I mean, all the traps, I definitely, again, like want to reiterate so much that these are like normal because of the way our culture is like set up. So it's not like you're doing anything wrong, mm-hmm. but being aware of them, you're like, I don't need to act this way. I don't need to do it this way. Validation trap, I think, again, because probably the same as you, Kendra, like achiever dreamer mindset. This one was so painful for me because it became... Dating was more than just finding the right partner. It was a reflection of myself. Mm-hmm. And if I felt like, and I think in the moment, I don't know if I would have equated this, but like I mentioned with the partner, the on again, off again, I didn't think there was someone else that would love me that way, or like I was worthy of more. I don't know if I would have admitted it at the time, but I think looking back, there was like this deep-seated like self-esteem part too that I needed to recover from and grow to like understand that like, no, like, you know, I'm an asset. I bring a lot to a relationship. And when I was dating the last time around before I met my fiance, I'll use the term. And like, I was just, it was a different, I was such a different mentality. I was getting rejected, quote unquote, more than ever before, but I didn't view it that way because I wasn't in the validation trap. I think if this was like years ago, it would have been detrimental. I would have stopped dating because I would have been like, I just keep getting rejected. But if you look at it as just redirection of realizing that 99% of people aren't going to be matches, it's just getting you more towards the person that's right for you, then it really just changes. Like, there was just a lightness I had towards dating that was never there before.
I want to touch a little bit on the rejection therapy thing.
Yeah.
I have like the link from the book. I want to do the challenge. Can I do it even if I'm not dating? Because
absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Rejection is hard for everyone. Yeah.
But what is rejection therapy? And you talked a little bit about it. Like, why is it so powerful? And especially, why can it serve you so much in dating later on?
This is a concept that was written by this author named Jia Jiang, and he wanted to be desensitized to the word no. So he took this on as his own personal experiment where he went out and asked for all the things where he knew or thought he would get a no. For example, asking for an upgrade, asking for free things, asking for a discount. And he wrote a book and he called this rejection therapy. But in our book, we kind of take, you know, modify that. And it's the same concept. Is rejection is just redirection. There's nothing negative about the word no. It just means they're clearing the path for the right yes for you. So if you just keep looking and asking for things, expecting a no, and if you hear the no's, eventually the no becomes, it doesn't have a qualifier to it. It just becomes a word that you hear. So the challenge is go out there and ask for as many things as possible, be risky and be ballsy about it and see what comes out of it. Because more likely than not, you might get more yeses than you think. And when you get the no, it won't be a big deal.
This is coming from someone who's normally like afraid to ask to use a bathroom somewhere. So when I saw that, I need to do this 2025 list.
You and I are the same in that. See, something I admire about Julie is that she's not afraid to ask for things. Like when we go out to eat, she'll be very specific about what she's looking for. And if they don't give it to her, she'll ask for the food to be taken back. And, you know, that's something I've never done before. So like, you and I are the same in that. But I've started to adapt that mindset. It seems so trivial at first, but it was a big deal for me to even be like, this chicken is a little salty. Could you take it back?
Yeah.
Just to point out, though, I was that way in life, but not in dating for years.
So funny. So. It is very interesting how things can, like, there are two different versions almost.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the longer you are with someone, that self goes away. So it's like you do really need to show your true self.
Totally.
To a person, because that's who you're living with for, like, presumably the rest of your life. So that is a very interesting concept. I feel like I'm such a big fan of the book. I feel like I could talk about it for so long, but I want to definitely leave a lot for readers. So can you guys talk about how people can order the book? And it comes out, I believe, today. When this comes out, today is launch day, so people order it. But can you share a little bit about where people can find it and how they can connect with you for more?
Absolutely. So you go to howtobedatable.com. We have all the links there, but really in wherever you get your books, you know, Amazon, Barnes and Noble's, bookstores, hopefully local bookstores, and, you know, just wherever you get your books, buying local is always good too. And yeah, you could find us at datablepodcast.com, any podcast platform, at Datable Podcast on Instagram and social media.
And we like to tell everyone we have the audiobook version as which is great to buy together because there are exercises, as you saw, Kendra, in the book that you want to do, you know, in the book, right in the book. But then there's other parts of the book that you might learn better when you're just taking a walk and want to listen to it. So getting two is what we recommend.
Amazing. No, that's a great pairing together. Well, Thank you guys so much. And the great thing too is you guys could literally be binging their podcast for a long time since there's so many episodes
that are popping
in. So it's been so fun meeting you guys officially and so excited for the book. I recommend, even if you don't feel like you're ready to date, I would highly recommend it. I think it's a great like foundational. And like we talked about earlier, I think it will give people hope and make it seem less scary, because I do think a big part of breakup pain comes
yes.
from the fear of how will I date again? How will I find
yes.
someone? So yeah. I think it will provide, like make it feel less scary and therefore make the breakup feel a little less intense. So
yeah, definitely. And there is a lot about even just recovering from breakups and using that to propel forward. And our editor said it felt like a big hug. And we
yes.
were like, we love that, because like, dating should feel that way. It shouldn't feel like a war zone and like all this like mm-hmm. battlefield and like all the stuff that we like feel like it is today.
It's a cuddle puddle.
Love that. I love that. No, it does. It does. It makes great. I think it will make dating feel so much less scary for people. So again, like it doesn't subscribe to the dating sucks, dating, you know, yeah. dating is the worst, or I never want to do that again. I think it just provides a new outlook on it. So Julie and Yue, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And I hope everyone goes out and gets your book, How to Be Dateable, out today. And yeah, pleasure having you guys.
Thanks, Kendra, for having us.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.